Today on Standing on the Word.
They left their nets. They left the only career they had. They left their nets. Look what it says in verse 21. Or no, verse 22. And they immediately left. What did they leave? The ship and their father. This is their nets. This is their ship. This is their business. This is their money. This is their career. This is their livelihood. This is what they were known for. You say, how could you do that? How could they do that? But they dropped it all. They run him down. They were step by step the rest of their life with him. Do you know how they did that? They were willing to do this with everything else in their life. And they were willing to do that because they knew who he was.
You're listening to Standing in the Gap, standing for truth in a fallen world.
Welcome to Standing in the Gap, Standing on the Word, a verse-by-verse study of the Bible and the powerful truths that are revealed throughout God's holy word. I'm your host, Mike Gross. Today we'll hear from Josh Tompkins, who is pastor and Bible teacher at West End Baptist Church, as he explains how Christians today seem more and more confused about what it means to truly follow Christ, as well as how the Bible tells us we should follow Christ. And now, from his sermon titled, What Does It Mean to Follow Christ?, here's Josh.
Let's stand together. We'll read these verses. I'm just going to do verses 18 through 22, and we'll stand in honor of the reading of the Word of God. This is the very Word of God to us. This is the most important time of our worship as we sit under the teaching and the preaching of God's Word. And we all, with open ears, should be begging God, speak to me today. Everybody in here individually should be saying, speak to my heart today. I want to hear from God today. And we want to hear from God, what does it mean to follow Jesus Christ? So starting there in verse 18, just reading through verse 22, very simple passage. And Jesus, walking by the Sea of Galilee, saw two brethren, Simon called Peter and Andrew his brother. And they were casting a net into the sea, for they were fishers. And he saith unto them, and here's our words for today, follow me, and I will make you fishers of men. And they straightway left their nets and followed him. And going on from thence, he saw two brethren, James the son of Zebedee and John his brother, in a ship with Zebedee their father, mending their nets. And he called them. In verse 22, and they immediately left the ship and their father, and they followed him. So let's pray together, and then we'll do our best to try to understand today, what does it mean to truly be a follower of Jesus Christ? Let's pray together. Father, we need your help today. We need your guidance. We need your enlightenment. We need you to help us to keep our attention, to get our minds focused, to be intent on what we're looking at today. I believe this to be, Father, a very, very important passage. And it's important to all of us, not just to these first disciples, but to those of us here in this room. We all would say we're followers of Christ. But God, we need your help to show us what that truly means. Show us biblically what it means to follow your Son. And Father, if there's anyone in here this morning who is not a true follower, may they see that, and may they immediately today follow you. And for all of us here that are followers, may we make a commitment. May we be resolute that we want to be a closer follower today than we ever have been. May you draw us near. May we just have a closer walk with you today. Help me, Father, teach these things. Help the people sitting to hear these things and to understand these things as we spend this time in your word. We ask and pray these things in Jesus' name. Amen. You can be seated. We're going to spend our time this morning on two simple words. The whole sermon is going to be focused on those two simple words, follow me. And these two simple words that we're going to look at, and I would underline those things, I would highlight them, those two words, follow me. And this is Christianity 101. This is the most basic, the most fundamental, the most elementary teaching in the Christian faith. We all would call ourselves followers of Jesus Christ. That's who we are. That's what it means to be a Christian. It means that we are following a man, and that man is the Lord Jesus Christ. These words here, follow me, this is not the only place you'll find these words. These words are repeated all throughout the New Testament. I believe 13 times Jesus says these two words exactly. So as he's walking through Galilee, as he's spends his 3 years in ministry, these words are constantly on his lips. Everywhere he goes, he's repeating these two words over and over and over. Follow me, follow me, follow me. And he does it to all kinds of different groups of people. I believe it's his favorite thing to say. I believe if you were to ask the people in that area, they'd say, what's Jesus preaching today? They'd say, he's calling people to follow him. Look what he says here. Two words dominated here. Two words are constant here. To his disciples, and I'm not going to make you turn there, but in Matthew 4, here we're at today, he says, follow me. If you wanted to, you could go to Matthew 8, and he says to them again, follow me. Matthew 9, you don't have to turn there. He says, follow me. Guess what he says to them again in Matthew 10? There's Matthew 4, Matthew 8, Matthew 9, Matthew 10. What's he going to say to them? Follow me. Matthew 19, he says it again. The same two words. Follow me. That's just to his inner circle, to his disciples. I want you guys to follow me. And then he goes to the crowds. And I've got two passages here for you. Luke 14, 26. Mark 8, 34. Look what he says. And when he had called the people unto him. These are the large crowds. I mean, he's got a multitude around him. So he says, when the people are called to him, with his disciples also. He said, whosoever will come after me, let him deny himself and take up his cross and follow me. Again, these are his most repeated words. These are the two words that dominated every time he spoke. And this was a constant theme in his teaching. It was to follow me. He says it over, and it's not just to the disciples and to the crowds. John 21, 19, at the very end of his ministry, when he's about to ascend into heaven, he looks at Peter and he says, just as a reminder, while I'm gone, you're still going to follow me. I mean, this is just a repeated theme. And you know what he would say to us today if he was standing here in the stead of me? If I wasn't here and it was Christ standing in front of you today, you know the two words that he would look at you and say? He would say, I know you guys got the answer to this, because I said we're just going to preach two simple words today. And if you leave here and you say, I don't know what Josh preached, you've really not been paying attention. But if Jesus was standing here today, preaching instead of me, he would look at everybody in this room, whether you're lost or whether you're saved. This is disciples, this is the crowds, this is his inner circle. He'd say it to me, he'd say it to you. I want you guys to follow me. Be followers of Jesus Christ. And you say, yes, I agree with that. That's what he says. But the problem is, there's so much confusion about what that means. You would say you're a follower of Christ, but are you really? Do you know what it means to really follow him? We have wrong ideas about that. We've redefined that to make it to fit our idea of what it means to follow. So we really don't know what it means. So, the most fundamental, the most basic, the most elementary teaching in Christianity today has lost the idea of what that really means. We don't know what it means to follow. So we need clarity. We need understanding. We need to dig into this passage and get every little drop that we can get out of it so we can understand what does it mean to really follow Jesus. So as we turn to this passage and as we look at it here, and Jesus is very clear. I mean, he doesn't mix words at all. He's straightforward in what he's saying. This is the outset of his ministry. He's just now getting started. Again, he's been alone, and now he's going to pick his followers. He's going to, and I'll say it this way, he's going to pick his team. Jesus gets to pick his own followers. So now he goes out and he's going to gather his disciples, and for the first time in his ministry, he looks at these guys and he says those two words, follow me. And this is, for them, a life-changing moment. Because those two words are life-changing words. If Jesus says to them, follow me, that changes their lives. And if he says to you, follow me, it changes our lives. These are powerful words that he says. Those two words have great meaning. So we're going to look at it today. What does it really mean to follow Christ? And by the time the sermon's over, I hope you'll be doing some soul searching and seeing, am I really following him? Because you understand that there's a lot of people out there that call themselves followers of Christ, and they are not following Jesus Christ. So what does it mean, and am I following him? So let's examine it. I want you to be engaged with me. I want you to tune in with me. I want you to be right there with me as we go through these just simple five verses. So let's start in verse 18 as we look at what does it mean to follow Christ. And I want to just work my way through three headings. 3 points as we get through here. And I was reading, just as a sidebar, I don't have time to do this, but I'm going to. It didn't interest Steph at all. I was reading a book yesterday by an author in the 1300s, a preacher talking about what it means to preach. And I was reading it to Steph, and she's like, whoopity-doo, you know. But he said every one of his sermons fell into 3 points. And I thought, man, it goes all the way back to the 1300s? I'm just following a long line of faithful men in preaching 3 points. So we have that again here this morning, 3 points, and you guys were just as interested in that as Steph was. So starting in verse 18, I want to show you, follow me is a common call. Follow me is a common call. You see there in verse 18, and Jesus, I want to show you that the place where he calls them, it's a common place, and Jesus walking by the Sea of Galilee. He's walking in the place where he's been ministering. This is where his headquarters is. We talked about that last week. This is where he's stationed. This is where he'll teach. This is where he'll do miracles. This is where he'll live. I mean, this is the area that he has made his headquarters for his ministry. And he's out now walking along the sea. And this area, I want you to picture this in your mind. It is a beautiful lake. It says the Sea of Galilee, but it's not a sea. It's a lake, 7 miles wide, 13 miles long. It's in an area that is beautiful. I mean, if you looked up pictures of the Sea of Galilee or the Lake of Galilee, you would just see how beautiful this area is. It was, at that time, a thriving fishing industry, a hub of activity and commerce. In this area, there would be 9 little towns that surrounded it, 16 harbors, and they would say over 200 boats floating along in that sea. So this is a beautiful place for him to be walking. I mean, you just imagine Jesus walking along this sea with all these ships out in the sea and harbors everywhere and people fishing. And that was their main industry in that time. That's what they ate was fish. So this is where he's walking. And it shows, and I know you guys, as you look at this place, it shows where he found his disciples. This is important. This wasn't Jerusalem. This wasn't the temple. This wasn't in the theological schools of the time. Jesus isn't going into the highest of religious places to find his followers. He's going into an everyday place with everyday people and everyday workers and hardworking people. This is just a place that's nowhere. And that's where he's going to go and he's going to find his followers. This would be like, let me see if I can illustrate this to you. He's going to this place and finding his followers would be like a football coach going to a science fair to find his football players. You just don't do that. So he's going to this place. I mean, if you're a religious leader in that time, you don't go to the Sea of Galilee. You go there if you want fishermen. You go there if you want hard workers. You go there if you want guys with calluses on their hands that's going to build you something. You don't go there for theologians. You don't go there for religious guys. You don't go there for the followers, but that's where he goes to find his followers. It's the very last place anybody would ever expect Jesus to find his followers. And I love that. I don't want you to miss this. Jesus often finds his greatest treasures in the most obscure places. Jesus' greatest followers are not always in the seminaries. Oftentimes, it's not even in the churches. Jesus finds his greatest treasures sometimes in the prisons, sometimes in the coal mines. It's just the most obscure places where Jesus will find his followers. And I love that because I could sit around and look at you today and say, where did Jesus find you? And here we are. I mean, you may not have been out fishing or in the Sea of Galilee, but he found you somewhere at some time. And it probably wasn't anywhere where anybody would ever think that he would find a follower. I mean, Big Stone Gap, Appalachia, in the mountains, and Jesus is finding his followers there. That's where Jesus finds the people to follow him, in the most obscure places, the last place anybody would ever expect. And here he calls these men. Look what he does here. That's a place. It's just a common place. He's not going into palaces and looking for his followers. He's not going into the theological schools looking for his followers. He goes to the Sea of Galilee. And who does he get? I love this. He sees two brothers. And Jesus, walking by the Sea of Galilee, saw two brethren. You know why he saw them? Because he was looking for them. He wasn't just walking along the Sea of Galilee, just going to find anybody and anywhere. He was looking for these two brothers. And not just these two brothers, but in verse 21, two other brothers. Jesus is out looking for them. I like this. He takes the initiative. He gets to pick his own team. These guys aren't volunteering. He's not going out to the seacoast and saying, who wants to be a follower? He looks at two brothers and he says, you guys follow me. Two more brothers, you guys follow me. He sees them because he's looking for them. He chooses his own team. He chooses his disciples. I'll give you a verse, John 15, 16. He looked them square in the face in the upper room and he says, you have not chosen me, but I have chosen you. That's pretty clear, isn't it? I'll give you another one, John 6, 70. He says, have not I chosen you 12? He just kind of put them in their places. You guys didn't choose to follow me. I chose you. So he's going and he's picking his own team. And he chooses four fishermen. They're out fishing. You see there in verse 18, he chooses Simon called Peter. You guys know Peter. And he chooses Andrew, his brother. And they were casting a net. They didn't have a fishing rod. They had a net. They'd be about knee deep in the water and they'd just take it and throw it out. And they'd have a rope on the end of it and they'd pull it in. So they're out there casting a net. And he looks at them and he says, you two, follow me. And then in verse 21, he sees James, the son of Zebedee, and his brother, and John, his brother. You guys know these two as well. And they're in a ship with their father, Zebedee, and they're mending their nets. They've been out fishing all day, and they've got holes in their nets, and they're sitting there just putting their nets back together. So he calls these people, and I want you to see this. These are common people that he's calling. Look at this. These aren't priests. These are not rabbis. These are not the rich, not the powerful, not the very religious, not the famous, not the educated. These guys are hardworking, sweat of the brow, sun-baked skin, calloused hands. These are the guys that Jesus is calling to be in his inner circle. These are nobodies from nowhere. I mean, I know it's not for us. But for Jesus to go to Galilee and to get fishermen to be his followers, in that time, it would be jaw-dropping. We're sitting here now saying, oh, no big deal. But for them, they'd say, this is the last place you'd ever, that's the last people you'd ever expect Jesus to call. This is a common call because this is what he does. Jesus is surprising people with this. It's the last place and the last people he chooses to be in his inner circle, to be his closest friends. To advance his call and even to change the world. I mean, Peter's here, who would be the one that he would send out to lead the church, to preach at Pentecost. He's choosing fishermen, run-of-the-mill, everyday, common, normal, simple men. It's like going for a pickup basketball game and you have a crowd of people. I mean, if I go to a pickup basketball game, I love playing pickup basketball. I like being the captain of the team. They look at me and say, Josh, you pick. And I'm going to start picking the team. And I'm going to look around. I'm going to find the tallest. I'm going to find the most athletic. I'm going to find the ones that can shoot the best. You know why? Because I like to win. You pick the best players so you can win. Jesus is going, and he's not picking the tallest. And he's not picking the most athletic. And he's not picking the best shooter. And he's not picking the best defender. Jesus is going out into the world, and he's picking the lowliest of the low, the smallest of the small, the worst of the worst. And he's saying, I choose you over the rich and the famous and the powerful and the educated and the smart. Look what they said here, Acts 4:13. You don't have to turn there. This is what they said about Jesus' disciples. Now when they saw the boldness of Peter and John, these guys here, and perceived that they were unlearned and ignorant men, they marveled and took knowledge of them that they had been with Jesus. He takes the lowliest of the low, the worst of the worst, the least likely, the nobodies from nowhere, and he says, I'll choose you, because when they see you, and they see what I do through you, they will marvel at me. They won't look and say, oh, those guys are so smart. Oh, those guys are so good looking. Oh, those guys are so talented. Oh, those guys are so gifted. They look at you guys and see how lowly you are, how uneducated you are, how ignorant you are, and they'll say, oh, that has to be Jesus working in them. And I love that because that's what he does with us. I am living proof that he takes the lowliest of the low. And the most sinful and the worst and the least likely to ever do anything for him. And he says, you know what? I'll take Josh. So that everybody will look up there and say, why in the world? How in the world could he ever do anything? It has to be Jesus. And it's the same for you. It's the same for our church. And nobody would ever look at our church and say, wow, that place is fancy. That place has got just everything. All the worldly things, they're just booming because they've got everything and everybody. No, we're the lowest of the low and the smallest of the small, but Jesus chooses us. It's a common call. This is how God works. I gotta work through this. He doesn't work how we think. It's not worldly wisdom. I want you to turn with me to 1 Corinthians 1. Just to show that this is his pattern for how he works. Verse 26, I'll read it as you're turning. For ye see your calling, brethren, how that not many wise men after the flesh, not many mighty, not many noble are called. But God hath chosen the foolish things of the world to confound the wise, and God hath chosen the weak things of the world confuse the things which are mighty. Verse 28, and the base things of the world, and the things which are despised hath God chosen, yea, and things which are not, to bring to naught things that are, that, here's the reason, that no flesh should glory in his presence. But of him are ye in Christ Jesus, who of God has made unto us wisdom and righteousness and sanctification and redemption, that according as it is written, he that glorieth, let him glory in the Lord. That's why he chooses who he chooses, so that he'd get the most glory. That's how he works. That's his common practice. He takes the least likely, the common, the base. He takes from the trash heap of sin. It wasn't who they were. It wasn't what they were. It wasn't their talents. It wasn't their gifts. It wasn't their attributes. It was all the beautiful and glorious grace of Almighty God that he chose them. Again, think David over his brothers. Think Moses. Think Israel, the smallest, lowliest nation that he chose in the Old Testament. Think me and you. We are the ordinary, common, humble little people. This is who we are. Don't think that there's anything in us that would draw Jesus to us or elicit his invitation. It's all in his choosing and by his grace. It's a common call. Because here, in this call, Jesus gets the most glory. So that's verse 18. Follow me is a common call. I like that because it goes out to the most common of people. And I am the most common of people. And we are the most common of people. Point number two. This is where I want to spend most of our time this morning. Follow me is not only a common call, but it is a commanding call. He says there in verse 19, and he saith unto them, and he says it to these four by name. This is not the other fishermen in the sea. This is four very specific fishermen. This is not the first time he's met them. You don't have to turn there, but John 1:37, a year ago was the first time he met them. It was his initial call for these four. They knew Christ. They maybe even had interest in Christ, was intrigued by Christ. But here now, so I don't want you to think this is the first time he ever met them. They met about a year earlier. But here, he gives them this command. And this is from the master with authority. It's a summons to them. This is not an option. This is not a suggestion. This is a command to them. He's not looking at them saying, would you guys please follow me? Understand that. It's a command. So when he says follow me, it's not you saying, well, he's giving me an open-ended question. He's saying, do you want to follow me? It's not even an invitation. It's not even, will you please follow me? He's not begging you to follow him. He's picking again his team. And when you pick your team, you say, hey, I get you. You come on my team. That's what he's doing here. He's commanding. This is the master. This is God in flesh saying, you on my team. You follow me. So what does those two words mean? What does it mean to follow me? I want to get everything I can out of this. So let me tell you what I have here. And I don't want you to scare you guys off. But I have seven things this means. You can go right along with me and see this. I've got those two words, follow me. And there's seven things it means. So I've got 7 points underneath my three main points. But here we go. You guys ready for this? Count them down. Here we go. Starting with number one, follow me is to follow personally. You must follow me personally. He says, follow me. It is looking at these four men. You four personally need to follow me personally. This is a one-on-one relationship. You individually must decide for yourself that you will follow Jesus. You must decide. It's not your mom deciding. It's not your parents deciding. It's not your papa deciding. It's not your kids deciding for you. Nobody can decide this for you. You must personally follow him. It's a personal decision that you must make individually. You're sitting here today as kids, as teenagers. You must decide to follow Jesus yourself. You follow Him. It's a personal thing, individual, that you decide to follow Jesus for yourself. And it's not just you follow Him. You must follow Him. You don't follow a church. You don't follow a pastor. You don't follow a denomination. You don't follow your preferences. You don't follow rituals. You don't follow religion. You don't follow traditions. You don't follow the world. We are followers of Jesus Christ. If this church goes away, you keep following Jesus. If this pastor leaves one day, you keep following Jesus. If your traditions go away, you keep following Jesus. It's personal. We follow Jesus. Not a man, not a system, not a group, not a creed. We follow Jesus. I told my boys this week as they were getting ready to play basketball. It may be simple, but the key to any sport is keeping your eye on the ball. You know, they thought, oh, I thought Dad's going to give us something great, you know. Sit them down for advice and say, keep your eye on the ball. On defense, keep your eye on the ball. Know where the ball is. Baseball, you better keep your eye on the ball, or the ball may hit you in the eye. Football, know where the ball's at. The key to any sport is keeping your eye on the ball. The key to the Christian life is keep your eye on Jesus. The second you begin to take your eye off of Jesus is the second you begin to get away from Him. The second you begin to look to a man or to a church or to religion or to denomination or tradition or preferences or any other thing, the second you begin to fall away from Him. It's a personal follow me. Number two, to follow me is to follow closely. I like that. It's come be with me. He says to them, come over here. I want you by my side. I want you walking step in step with me. I want you stride in stride with me. I want you to be in my inner circle. I don't want you in the water anymore. Where I go, you go. I want you to, like Simon says, you do what I say, when I say, as I say it. If I say jump, you say how high. You better be close to me. And it's what they do when they decide to follow Him. Everywhere He goes, they go. I mean, they're right behind Him. When somebody tells you to follow them in a car, I don't know if you guys have ever done this, but I've had people, I'll say, follow me, I'll get you there. And they'll stop at a red light. And I'm zooming on past, and I'm going to look at them and say, when I say follow me, I mean be as close to me as you can be. Because you'll lose me and you'll get lost. And that's the same thing with Jesus. You better be close to me. You better be near to me. You better learn from me. You better mimic me. You better be just like me. Everywhere I go, you better go. You better be close to Jesus. It's I want a close walk with Jesus. I don't want to be separated from Him. I don't want to be at a distance from Him. I want to be as close to Jesus as I can be. I want to be in His Word. I want to be speaking to Him in prayer. I want to be with His people and worshiping Him every day. I want to be close to Jesus. Some people like Jesus, but at a distance. If you're at a distance from Jesus, you're not following Jesus. Number three, follow is unconditionally. We saw personally, we saw closely. Now we see it's unconditionally. Does He give any details here? I mean, He says, follow me. There's no conditions. It's just follow. Does He give any details? No. He doesn't tell them where. He doesn't tell them how. He doesn't give them a plan. He doesn't say, I want to pay you this much. There's no terms of agreement. It's just follow me blindly. That's what He says to us today. I ain't going to tell you where we're going. Just follow me. I'm not going to tell you how I'll meet your needs. Just follow me. I'm not going to tell you where life is going to end up for you. I'm not going to tell you who you're going to marry. I'm not going to tell you how many kids you're going to have, what job you're going to be working at. I'm not going to tell you how your health is going to be. I give you nothing but follow me. And you know what we do? Okay. I don't care where I go. I don't care what I do. I don't care how much money I make, as long as I'm with you. It's unconditional. Number four, we'll get through these quick. Follow me submissively. You see that? We're following, follow me personally, follow me closely, follow me unconditionally. And those disciples had no idea where Jesus was going to take them. They had no idea where they'd end up. They had no idea how their lives would go. Follow me submissively. Notice the order here. They follow him. It's not the other way around. He doesn't look at them and start fishing with them and say, I'll go where you guys go. I'll do what you guys want to do. He's not following them. This tells me that their agenda is over, that they are not calling the shots anymore. This tells me that Jesus is not the co-pilot in the car. Jesus is the pilot in the car. That's how Jesus rules our life. You follow me. That's me sitting in the back, scared to death about what's going to happen in my life. But I understand and I trust that Jesus is at the wheel and I am following him. I submit my will, my plan, my agenda, all to him. He drives now. If he wants to exit, I'll exit. If he wants to go further than I want to go, I go. If he wants to stop, I'll stop. He is the one in control now. He's in the driver's seat, not me. And there's so many people out there, they call themselves followers of Christ, but they're on their own agenda, on their own plan, doing what they want to do when they want to do it. They're driving, not Jesus. They aren't following him. No more doing your own thing. No more going your own way. Now, Jesus calls the shots. I like that. I want Jesus to call the shots in my life because I'm not smart enough to call the shots. Don't you want that in our church? You can have churches where men call the shots. You have churches where families, one little family rules the place. I want a church where Jesus calls the shots. So submissively, what number are we on? Five. You guys aren't used to this many points. Follow me constantly. Follow me constantly. This follow me is in the present tense. He's basically saying, come after me. And he's not inviting them for a stroll along the Sea of Galilee. Follow me for the next hour and we'll talk. I'll come back every Sunday morning and you can walk with me. I'll come in the mornings and we'll talk. No, this is an invitation for lifelong discipleship. This is forever type stuff. This is not one day. This is not one day a week. This is not when you feel like it. A lot of people that are followers of Jesus just when they feel like it. A lot of people are followers of Jesus just when it's convenient. Jesus doesn't look at them and say, when you guys are on your lunch break, come follow me. He doesn't look at him and say, when it's easy, come follow me. When it's nighttime, come follow me. When you want to, come follow me. That's not what he's saying here. This is a lifetime commitment, a lasting association. From now on, you will be following me every day, no days off, 24/7, all the way to the end. Wherever he goes and whatever he does, you be on my heels. To the end. This is my favorite one here. Not only to follow him constantly, but we're to follow him purposefully. Look what he says. And he says unto them, follow me. You guys like those two words, follow me? And watch what he does. If we will follow him, he says, and I will make you fishers of men. If you follow me, I will teach you to be a fishers of men. You won't fish anymore in the Sea of Galilee. You won't be fishing for fish anymore, but what we're going to do now is go fishing for men. We're not going to go into the Sea of Galilee with all the fish that's in the sea. We're going to go into the ocean of the world that is full of sinners that are on their way to hell. And what we're going to do now is we're going to go fishing, not with a fishing pole, not with bait, but with the gospel of Jesus Christ. And we're going to go out there and we're going to pull people out of the gates of hell. We're going to save them. This is what you're going to do now. And they have no idea how to do that. They can fish for fish. They have no clue how to fish for men. And Jesus is saying, I love this one. If you will follow me, I will teach you how to do that. You worry about following, I'll worry about teaching. You keep your eye on me, and I'll make you what you ought to be. You follow, I teach. You follow, I train. You follow, I make. Jesus, who created the whole world, don't you think he has the power to make you what you need to be? So all we worry about is, it's back to what I told my boys, keep your eye on the ball. If you'll just keep your eye on the ball, He will make you what He wants you to be. If we'll just keep our eyes on Jesus, I love this. Keep your eyes on Jesus and He will make you the man you ought to be. Don't worry about being the man you ought to be. Worry about following Jesus. If you follow Jesus, He'll make you the husband that you ought to be. Follow Jesus, He'll make you the father that you need to be. Follow Jesus, He'll make you the mother and the wife that you need to be. Follow Jesus, and I love this. Follow Jesus, I had no idea how to be a preacher. I still may not. I had no clue how to pastor, how to teach. I didn't understand Scripture. All I knew was follow Him. And you know what He did? He taught me how to do what He wanted me to do. And I need to keep doing that all my whole life. Follow Him. He'll make me a better man. Follow Him. He'll make me a better husband. Just keep your eye on Jesus and you'll become what He wants you to become. We spend so much time trying to be things when all we need to do is to see things. Keep your eye on Jesus and He will make you exactly what He wants you to be. That old song says, He's still working on me. He's still working on me to make me what I ought to be. Took Him just a week to make the moon and the stars, suns and the earth, Jupiter and Mars. How loving and patient He must be because He's still working on me. He does the work. I just follow Him. It's beautiful. Keep your eye on Christ. Last one. Follow courageously. These men now will step out in the public eye on the front lines. And they will be identified with Christ with a big target on their back. Big old target for the world, for sinners, and for Satan. When you decide to follow Christ, you put a big old bullseye on your back. That's what they do. It's risky. It's dangerous. It's difficult. And it will cost them their lives. Every single disciple of Christ but John will die a martyr's death at the hands of evil and wicked men. Everyone but John. And John will go on to write Revelation and be on the island of Patmos, which is a prison island in his 90s. So he might as well have been martyred. Every one of them in danger. Every one of them hard life. Every one of them a risk. Every one of them dangerous. Every one of them difficult. It shows here what the world don't always understand, that following Christ is not going to be easy. It's not going to be safe. It's not going to be cheap. Following Christ takes courage. The world will laugh at you. People at your job will not understand you. Teenagers, people in your school will think you're crazy for the decisions you make and things you don't say and things you don't do. But you must step out and say, I am a follower of Christ. There's our seven. I could probably find some more if we had more time. But there's seven. What it means to follow Christ. So the command has been given. The terms have been set. These are absolute, fixed. Same for all. He will not soften these things. He will not sugarcoat these things. This is what it means to follow Him. He's telling them, here's what you've got to do to follow Me. And He's not going to bring the price down. That's what people are trying to do today with Christianity. They're trying to make it easier than what it is. There's a cost to following Jesus Christ. And He's telling them up front, here it is now, guys. It's not going to be easy. And they have a choice to make, a response. They've got to weigh it out. Will they follow or will they not? Will they obey or will they disobey this command that He has given? And you've got to do the same. Everybody in here has to figure this out. On one hand, I have Jesus telling me, follow Me. But on the other hand, I have everything else I want to do in life. What are you going to do? And that's where we turn to the last point. Follow Me is a common call. Follow Me is a commanding call. And follow Me is a costly call. It will cost them everything. Everything to follow Christ. Look what it says here with me. Verse 20. Look what the decision they make. And they straightway... I like that. Straightway, immediately. Do you see that with me? They say straightway. You can turn to verse 22, and it says, and the other two disciples, and they immediately left the ship and their father and followed him. It's straightway and immediately. This is without hesitation, without deliberation. They didn't vote. They didn't debate. They didn't delay. They didn't pause. They didn't think on it. But on the spot, instantly and at once, they said, we will follow you. I mean, a snap of the fingers and they're done. And we're going to go with him. We're not even going to think about these things. It shows, number one, he said it, they did it. This is a command. The master has spoken with authority. And when he tells me to do something, I do it. I said it earlier. If he says jump, I say how high. It's spot on. When you tell your kids to do something, I don't know if you guys have the same problem I do. I'll tell my kids, Steph will do it. She does it all the time. Isaiah, brush your teeth. 30 minutes later, he's still not brushed his teeth. And he'll say, I'm going to. And I love when Steph says, I didn't tell you to do it later. And when I say do it, I mean do it now. I'm going to start telling her to use that word straightway. I love that word. That should be the motto of Christianity. That when Jesus says do something, we do it straightway. We do it immediately. We do it now. It's like a lightning bolt. As soon as it hits, we do it. That's what he's saying here. Do it now. When we command our kids, we want it now. When Jesus commands, he wants it now. On the spot. Don't think about it. If he says it, you do it. All of us. And number two, I'll give you another one that it shows. Not just his authority, but how we ought to live. It ought to be, again, our motto in life, straightway. When should I share the gospel with my children? Straightway. When should I get baptized after I've got saved? Should I think about it? Should I ponder it? Should I wrestle it around in my mind? Straightway. Don't put it off. Do it today. Do it now. I think it was Paul who looked at the man and said, what's to stop you from getting baptized right now? Here's water. Let's get in. Straightway, immediately, right now. And whatever it is you're told to do, I mean, to share the gospel with somebody, I see that all the time with people like, oh, I've got a lost friend. I'll share the gospel. I'm trying to be friendly with them. I'll do it later when it's appropriate time. No, straightway. There may not be another time. You do it now. If you've backslidden away from Christ and you're not as close to him as you ought to be, you know when you should start getting close to him again? What's our word? Straightway. Right now. I should join the church. When should I do it? Right now. I mean, straightway. That should be our motto. That should be how we live our lives. Right now. Immediately. In the moment. Don't put anything off till tomorrow. You may not have it. Live your life now in the straight way. Whatever he says to do, I do it. Again, we need to be prompt in our service for Christ. When he says do it, we do it. And watch what they do. They abandon everything else. And straightway they left. That's their abandonment. It says they left behind. It means forsake. They dropped. Get this. I said that earlier. They had two things. They had Christ in one hand, and they had everything else in the other. Are you with me? They had Christ in one hand. Do I follow him? He offers me. He's told me nothing. It's unconditional. I don't know where we're going to go or what we're going to do. I don't know how my needs will be met. And in this hand is Jesus saying, follow me. And in this hand is everything else in my life. It's even my family. It's my job. It's my net. It's my fishing pole. It's my boat. It's everything is over here. Everything's in this hand. And it says here, and they left, which means they straightway chose Jesus and they dropped everything else. Do you see that with me? They dropped it. They left it. What did they leave? Look what it says. And they left their nets. They left the only career they had. They left their nets. Look what it says in verse 21. Or no, in verse 22. And they immediately left. What did they leave? The ship and their father. This is their nets. This is their ship. This is their business. This is their money. This is their career. This is their livelihood. This is what they were known for. You say, how could you do that? How could they do that? As they dropped it all, they run him down, they were step by step the rest of their life with him. Do you know how they did that? They were willing to do this with everything else in their life. And they were willing to do that because they knew who he was. The most important part of this passage is the me. If you know who He is, you know that He is worth more than everything this world has to offer. If you know who the me is, you will know that He is worthy of total abandonment and supreme devotion. You will know that He is God. You will know that He came to seek and to save that which is lost. You will know that He's going to die on the cross for our sins as an atonement. And He's going to take my sins upon Himself upon that cross and die for me. You will know that He's going to go into the tomb and He's going to be there for 3 days. He's going to be resurrected. You know He's worthy. That He ascended into heaven and He's coming back again. That all that I've ever given up here will be worth it when I see His face. You got to know that Jesus is worth everything that you might lose here. They knew it and they gave it all up. And if you were to ask them today, if they were here, we could pass a mic around and say, Peter, James, John, Andrew, was it worth it? Every one of them would say yes and amen. I'd do it again and I'd do it 1,000 times over. Because Jesus is worth it. If you understand the me, then nothing else matters. He's that great. He's that glorious. He's that wonderful that we would be willing to drop everything in this life just to follow Him. Let me tell you a short little story about a guy named Martin Lloyd-Jones, one of the great preachers in our era. He's with the Lord now. But he was 20 years old, and he was the most brilliant doctor in England. The most brilliant doctor in England. He was second in line to be the personal physician for the Queen of England. You with me? Second in line, which means that when that guy steps down, he will be the personal physician for royalty. He will be the most famous doctor in England. He will be rich. It'll be glorious. I mean, he's just a brilliant man. And God saved him. And God called him to preach. And he let all that go. It was on the front page of the London newspaper the next morning. Martin Lloyd-Jones steps down. Nobody steps down from that job. And here's his quote. Were you ready for this? I gave up nothing, and I received everything. Let me say it again. Doctor to royalty. Can you imagine the lifestyle he would have lived? I gave up nothing. Nothing. It's like Paul said in Philippians 3. It's all trash to me. For the knowledge of the Lord Jesus Christ, I received everything. And these guys did the same thing. They dropped it all and followed. And they became His first disciples. They became the fishers of men. They are an example to us what it means to be a follower of Jesus Christ. So my question to you this morning is, are you a follower of Christ? Based on this definition, based on this example, based on what we see here, after we have fully understood what it means to be a follower of Christ, I look at you, and this is in a biblical sense. Can you across this room today, I'm talking to teenagers, I'm talking to young children, I'm talking to the adults, I want to know, just looking at your life now, can you say that you are a follower of Jesus Christ? Again, I know that He would stand up here today. I can say that with certainty, that if Jesus were here today, He would give you two words, follow me. Are you a follower of Jesus Christ? If you're not, or if you have any question about it whatsoever, then you need to go to Christ right now as we're going to have this invitation time. And you need to bow your heads and you need to say to Him, I will follow you. That's it. That's all you need to say. I will follow you. Wherever you go, whatever you want, I belong to you now. I will follow you without reservation, straightway, immediately, without even thinking about it. I will follow Jesus. Can you say you can do that today? Without doubt, without reservation, I will follow Him. Starting now, starting today, I will follow you. And I'm telling you, don't put it off. I'll give you another quote by Charles Spurgeon. For a man to delay who has nothing to depend on but the breath in his nostrils is the very height of folly. What he's saying there is, for you to delay when there's nothing between you and death but the breath in your lungs that could be taken away from you like that is the height of foolishness. Do not delay as we have this invitation time. I beg you, I plead with you, with authority of Scripture, follow Jesus. Don't follow me. Don't follow anybody else. Don't follow your father. Don't follow your mother. You need to decide now, personally, will you follow the Lord Jesus Christ? There will be no body in heaven at all that was not followers of Jesus on earth. You must follow Him. And if you're here today and you are a follower, this is what I ask you to do. I ask you to be resolved that from this day on, I will be closer than I've ever been to Him before. I resolve, there's nobody that's too close to Christ. So I will resolve that I will follow Him closer. I will be on His heels. I will do what He says. I will listen to His voice. I will pray to Him. I'll be in church. I want to be as close to Him as I can be. I can't take any distance at all. I need a closer walk with Jesus. Will you do that, Christians? I want to do that. I need to be closer. I need to be more committed. There's nobody that's too committed to Christ. I need to be more committed. I need to be at the altar. I need to be closer. We all need that. If you are a follower, there should be a desire within you to be closer. So will you do that today?
And what an outstanding message that was. And now joining with me today in the studio is Pastor Josh Tompkins. Josh, explain to our listeners today why it is important for us to understand the way we should follow Christ and how striving to follow Christ in the right ways will help us grow spiritually as well.
Well, it is important. That's where I want to start with this question, is to show you the importance, because there are a lot of superficial followers in the world. There's a lot of people that say they are followers of Christ, and their life doesn't show that in any way at all. So we need to be careful as to discern between someone who is a real follower of Christ and someone who is a fake, superficial follower of Christ. So that's why this passage is important today, because I think it gives us several ways that we can understand what it means to be a true follower of Christ. And I listed several of those things in the sermon, and I won't go into depth on what those things are or into detail on that, but just to hit those things one more time, to follow Christ is to follow Him personally. We have to make that decision for ourselves. We have to personally follow Christ. We have to closely follow Christ, as close as we can, because that's where the last part of that question is. The results of that is that we will have a closer walk with Christ, and we want that. So it needs to be a close walk with Christ. You can't follow from a distance. You can't follow going in the wrong direction. It needs to be close. It has to be unconditional, which means I'm going to follow Him no matter what, no matter what else is going on in my life, no matter what else I may want to do. I have no conditions. I'm not going to say I will if this. I'm going to follow Him no matter what. We have to follow Him submissively. That means we do what He says. I'm in the passenger seat. I'm not even in the passenger seat. I'm in the back seat, and He's driving. I go where He goes and do what He wants me to do. We have to follow Him constantly. That's from day one till the last day of our life. We follow Him. We never stop. This is not a short time. This is a long, long time. And we have to follow Him courageously. Even if it costs us something, we have to keep following Him. Even as the world gets worse and times get worse, we must keep on following Him. And if we do that, we'll have lived the true Christian life and prove ourselves to be. That's the main result. We'll prove ourselves to be true followers of Christ.
Thanks. And again, that's Pastor Josh Tompkins from West End Baptist Church. And we want to remind our listeners that we love hearing from you. So if you have biblical questions that you'd like to have them answered, please send them to us by logging onto our website at www.westendbsg.org and leave them there. Also, search our website for a complete list of our outreach ministries and church services. And be sure to look for us on Facebook, Instagram, and Twitter by searching at West End Baptist Church. Thanks for listening, and we hope you'll join us again next time.